I feel like the Lord has indeed laid a message upon my heart for this service. And if you have your scripture, I'm going to ask you this morning to turn over to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 32. We're going to read some scriptures. This is not really an obscure setting of scripture, but it may be difficult for us to really grasp what has transpired here. So Genesis chapter 32, we're going to begin reading with the 24th verse. The Bible says in that 24th verse of the 32nd chapter, the book of Genesis, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over the brook Peniel, or from that place, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted, he limped upon his thigh. And I'm going to stop right there this morning and ask that you would bow your heads, and we're going to pray and ask the Lord for his help in ministering the word that I feel that he's placed upon my heart this morning. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning that we have opportunity to be here in the house of the Lord. And we're thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed. And we're thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that has touched our hearts as we have worshiped and as we have lifted up your name in song. As we have prayed and we have lifted our hands and we have magnified you, we're grateful for the touch of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, we come to the reading of your word. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would divinely touch me and make me an able minister of your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give me liberty in the house of God, that you would inspire what is spoken. Put your words in my mind, your words in my mouth. Let them come forth through these lips of clay touched by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you would cause me to speak as an instrument in your hand and on a level where everyone that is here may receive. I pray, Lord, that the words that are spoken here this morning under your anointing, that they will go forth and that they will find a lodging place not only in the ear of the hearer, but in the heart of the hearer as well. Let them find lodging place and rest in their spirit and give them understanding. And I pray, Lord, above all things, I ask for the anointing and that for Christ to be glorified in the people that are here and those that will listen to this message, that they would be edified. All of these things, Lord, we will forever give you the praise. We ask them now in the wonderful and in the mighty name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And for all of these things, We give you praise. And everyone that agreed with that prayer said amen with me. So this morning I want to title my message, The Man Branded by God. The Man Branded by God. Our text that we have read this morning closes by saying that Jacob had come face to face. He had a personal, up close encounter with God. And as the sun rose up in the theater of my mind, I can see him as he makes his way across the Jabbok River. And he makes his way across that river a changed man. And he is halting, the Bible said, or limping upon his thigh. Something had happened. The question that I asked this morning is, how did we get to this point? Jacob is crossing the river, halting upon his thigh. He's had an encounter with God, and he walks across that river, limping across that river, a changed man. But how did we get to this place? How did we get to that scene? Jacob was born a twin with his brother Esau. If I may this morning, I want to go back and just give you some historical footing and historical foundation that brings us to this place in our text. Jacob was born a twin. As a matter of fact, it is the first set of twins that are mentioned in the Word of God. His brother Esau. The boys are the sons of Rebekah and Isaac. Isaac, you will remember, was the son of Abraham. These two boys, Jacob and Esau, they are the sons of Rebekah and Isaac. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 25 that Rebekah was barren and she could not conceive and could not have a child. The Bible said that her husband Isaac began to entreat God. In other words, he prayed. He began to ask God to bless their household with children. Amen. Isaac entreated the Lord on her behalf, and God answered that prayer. God answered his heart's cry, and God caused Rebekah to conceive, and she conceived with twins. And right from the very start, right from the very get-go, there was a struggle. From the start of that conception and that pregnancy, there was a struggle inside Rebekah's womb. So much snow, so there was such a turmoil and such a struggle on the inside of her body, so much so that she actually went to the Lord and said, "What in the world is happening inside of me? Why is it like this?" And God answered her prayer. You'll find it in Genesis chapter 25, beginning with verse number 23. God says to Rebekah in response to her question, the Lord said to her, "There are two nations in your womb. There are two nations inside of your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your womb." In other words, the two that are inside of your body are polar opposites. There are two nations down on the inside of your womb, and the people that shall be separated, amen, he said, one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. There's a struggle on the inside. God said, "I know the struggle. They're two different. They're polar opposites. One will be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger." You're going to have twins. That was the day when there was no ultrasounds. There was no, funny pictures where everybody goes, "Look, do you see his face? Not really. Hello? Now they have them where you really can see their face. So right from the start, there is a friction. Right from the beginning, there is this vehement, polar opposite struggle with the two boys. When the children were born, Esau was born first. Esau came out of his mother's womb first. And hanging on to his heel is Jacob. Holding on to the heel of his brother as if to say, you're not going to get one up on me. You're not going to get one up on me. Esau is born, and hanging on to the heel of Esau is Jacob. Even at birth, Jacob is still wrestling and still striving for superiority. Esau was born first, and the Bible said that when he was delivered from his mother's womb, that his little body was covered with hair. And therefore they called his name Esau, meaning hairy. Following that logic, I imagine that the most popular names of that day were gooey and ugly and sticky and... Hello? Esau's body is covered with hair, and they call him Esau, which means hairy, and hanging on to his heel is his twin brother. And they named him Jacob. Jacob, which means heel grabber, supplanter. One that tries to unseat another. One who desires to take the place of another. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? And Jacob lives up to his name. As the boys begin to grow, sure enough, both figuratively and literally, Jacob begins to live up to the name. And his whole life has been leading up to this wrestling match at the Jabbok River. He was a deceiver. He was a schemer. He was a liar. He was, amen, from the very start, he had a plan to get ahead of his brother. Hanging on to his heel. And they call him Jacob, the supplanter. If you continue reading in Genesis chapter 25, you would read that the two boys were as different as daylight and dark. Esau is a hunter, a man of the field and favored by his father. You would also read that Jacob, the Bible said, was a plain man and dwelt among tents. And he was favored by his mother. Hello? Now, how many of you know that's trouble brewing right there? The playing of favorites by the parents did nothing but fuel the fire of the rivalry between the boys. Jacob lived up to his name. He meant so much so that he became an outright liar. And yet God had said, even while they were in their mother's womb, that the elder will serve the younger. There's something about the second son that's going to be special, and I'm going to do something in his life. Don't look like it now, but I ain't done with him, God says. By the time I get through with him, he's going to be a changed man. Hello? Genesis chapter 27, or chapter 25, I'm going to ask you to turn over there this morning, and I want to read it to you. I want you to go through this with me, the historical context of what transpires between these two brothers. Jacob swindles Esau out of his birthright for a bowl of beans. Understand this morning, understand when I say the birthright, understand that Esau, being the oldest, was in line to receive the birthright of the eldest son. But he's about to give that away. He is about to sell that. Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 29. The Bible said, and Jacob sawed pottage. He boiled a pot of beans. And Esau came from the field and he was faint. He was weak and weary. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, some of the red pottage. Give me a pot of your, give me a bowl of your beans, for I'm faint. And therefore his name was called Edom. Edom refers to the flesh, because Esau preferred his flesh over the spiritual inheritance that belonged to the firstborn. Are you following me so far? Esau said, behold, I am at the point of death. What profit shall this birthright do to me? What profit does this birthright, this promise that God gave to Abraham, that was handed down to Isaac, that would be handed down to the firstborn, amen, of Isaac? That promise was, God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you, and I'm going to make your seed as the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven, and every nation of the earth is going to be blessed because of you. Esau said, what does that profit me? That's a spiritual promise that just hadn't come to pass. Jacob said, sell it to me. Sell it to me. Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob, the supplanter, the one that was trying to take another's place, the one that was scheming and deceiving and tricking and trying to find a way, amen, to outdo the other. Are you following me this morning? Then Jacob gave Esau bread and beans or lentils, and he did eat and drink, and he rose up and went his way. And thus Esau, the Bible said, despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. So Jacob swindles his brother Esau out of his birthright for a bowl of beans. He sells his birthright for a bowl of beans. Now go to Genesis chapter 27, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. Now Jacob, as time goes on, he not only deceives his brother and swindles his brother out of his birthright, but now he is about to deceive and lie to his father. Genesis chapter 27, verse number 1, the Bible said, and it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, the eldest, the favorite, for dad. He called Esau, his eldest, and said unto him, my son. And he said, Esau said unto him, behold, I am here. And Isaac said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. In other words, Isaac is telling his son Esau, I don't know how many days I have left upon this earth, so I want you to go out, and I want you to hunt, and I want you to bring in a savory meal for me to enjoy, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you the blessing of the firstborn. I'm going to lay upon you the birthright, the blessing. He had already sold it. Isaac says, I'm going to lay the blessing of the firstborn upon you. Go out and hunt and bring me a meal, and I will bless thee before the Lord takes me home. And Rebekah heard it. Verse number 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord and before my death. Now, son, mama's favorite. Now, son, I'm going to tell you, this sounds like a messed up bunch. Hello? And yet God intended to use the mess. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Some of us were a messed up bunch. But hey, thank God that he chose to use some of us. She says, Jacob, I heard your daddy talking to Esau. And he wants you to go out and get venison and bring it. And he's going to bless him. Now here's what you do. We are going to scheme and trick and preempt this whole plan that your father has. Sounds like Jacob was not the only schemer. Maybe the nut didn't fall too far from the tree. Can you say amen? Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto thy brother Esau, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and do according to that which I command thee. I want you to go to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 kids of the goats. And I will make savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And thou shalt bring it. You shall bring it to your father that he may eat and that he may bless you before he dies. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man and I am smooth. Hello? You remember the hairy boy? He turned into a hairy man. Oh, help me, Jesus. And then Jacob says, my father peradventure will feel me and shall seem, and I shall seem to him or to him as a deceiver. And I won't bring a blessing upon myself. But if he recognizes that I've deceived him, I'll bring a curse upon myself. And Rebekah said to him, amen, your curse be upon me. Only obey my voice and go and fetch those kid goats. And so Jacob went along with the plan. And he went and fetched and he brought them to his mother. And his mother, Rebekah, made savory meat such as Isaac loved. And then Rebekah took goodly garment from Esau, took his clothes and put it upon Jacob. And then she took the remnant from the goats that had been slain, and she put it upon the back of his hands and upon the nape of his neck. And when your father touches you, he'll think you're Esau. Boy, I'm telling you, you talk about schemer. You talk about deceiver. And yet God said, while they were still in the womb, the elder shall serve the younger. You know why? Because God knew what was going to transpire before it ever came to pass. She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of Jacob, the supplanter, the trickster, the cheat. And she gave it into his hand, and he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, Isaac said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Remember, he is old and his eyes have waxed dim. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Ding, 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 ding. Liar. Liar. And he said, I have done according as thou badest me, as you bid me. I pray, sit, eat of my venison, that my soul may be blessed. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found the venison so quickly, my son? And Jacob said to him, because the Lord your God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, come close to me. And his father felt him. He said, come here, let me feel of you, that I may know whether you be my son Esau or not. And so Jacob goes near to his father, and the father, Isaac, said, your voice is Jacob's, but the feel of your skin is Isaac, or it's Esau. In other words, Jacob went to great lengths to deceive his father. And the Bible said that Esau or Isaac discerned him not. The father discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. And so Isaac blessed him. And he said, thou art my very son, Esau. And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near me. And he, the son, Jacob, brought the venison to Isaac, and he ate of it, and he drank wine, and he feasted, and he filled himself with the meal that had been prepared. And then Isaac, the father, said in verse 26, come near now, my son, and kiss me. And he came, and he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God shall give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine, and let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over all of your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed shall every one be that blesses thee. Right there is the Abrahamic covenant passing on to that boy. God knew it all along. It came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing to Jacob. Look at verse 30. Jacob was scarcely gone out of the presence of Isaac, his father, and his brother Esau came in from hunting.
We got trouble right here in River City. Hello?
Esau comes in, and he also had made savory meat and brought it to his father. And he said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto him, who art thou? Who are you? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled exceedingly. The father began to shake and began to tremble. And he said, who? Who and where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before you came in. And I have already blessed him. And Isaac says, and he shall indeed be blessed. He shall indeed be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great exceeding bitter cry. And he said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And Isaac says to him, thy brother came with subtlety, trickery, conniving, and he hath taken away your blessing. And he said, it is not right. Is he not rightly named Jacob? I love that. Is he not rightly named supplanter? Is he not rightly named trickster? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And then Esau says to Isaac, don't you have a blessing for me? Isaac does indeed bless Esau, and he would indeed become a great nation. But my point this morning is, amen, that Jacob, all through his childhood, all through his teen years, even into young manhood. He is a trickster. He is supplanter. He is one that is trying to supersede another. And yet, the promise of God to bless his life rests upon him. You say, Pastor Gary, how in the world could God use somebody so full of deceit and an out liar? God wasn't through with him yet. God knew there was a wrestling match coming up at the banks of the Jabbok River that would change his life forever. Jacob runs. Esau swears that he will kill his brother. He swears that after his father's days of mourning and after his father is passed and the days of mourning are passed, he says, I'll kill my brother. I'll kill him for stealing my birthright and for stealing my blessing. I'll kill him. Rebecca heard that too. And she says to Jacob, you go to your uncle Laban's house. I want you to leave and go to Mesopotamia. I want you to get as far away from here as you can go and stay there until your brother's anger has subsided. Stay there until your brother's anger has passed. Jacob follows his mother's instructions and he goes. He lives with Laban, his uncle, for nearly 20 years. But our text brings us to the place of his return. The fugitive is coming home. The fugitive is now on his way back home. Jacob knows that in order for God to cause he and his seed to inherit the land of Canaan and the promise of Abraham that he will have to go back into the land of Canaan. He knows that the promise that has been made to him to make of him a great nation and the promise to give him the land of Canaan and to his seed. He knows in order for that to be fulfilled that he must go back to Canaan. But he also knows that Esau is there. And he also knows how wrongly he treated Esau. But Jacob must face his past in order to move into his future. And there's a message right there this morning. Beloved, sometimes we need to face our past in order to move into our future. Jacob comes to the place of the Jabbok River. He has a multitude with him. His wife, his children, cattle, sheep, oxen. All of the things that his 20 years of labor have gathered. He has a clan with him. He comes to the banks of the Jabbok River. And he sends a gift over the river. He sends so many cattle and so many sheep and so many oxen, and he sets them apart by such and such a length, and then he stations a messenger with each band or each gift, and he said, when you come to Esau, you tell him these are a gift of your servant Jacob. He's trying to get himself out of hot water. He said, you send this and you go up ahead and you meet Esau. And when you meet him, you tell him these are a gift. All of these sheep, all of these oxen, all of these cattle, all of these things that you see, they are a gift of your servant Jacob. And I'm going to just tell you something this morning. The schemer is still scheming. He thinks that if he sends enough gifts that he can buy his way out of trouble. He sends the gifts over the river. Hey man, you go meet Esau. What a chicken liver. I'm telling you, you go meet Esau. Give him the gift. I'm going to hang back here and find out how it turns out. Hello? He sends those across before him. And he sends the gifts to appease Esau. And a messenger returns and said, Esau is coming. And he ain't coming alone. He has 400 men with him. Now, how many of you know you don't have to go out and say howdy with 400 people unless you have something in mind? I mean, you know, if you want to go for a visit, you don't have to haul 400 people to go with you. Esau was not happy. He knew that he was going to destroy his brother Jacob. And God knew it too. And God said, look, I got a plan for him. I have a plan for him. I know Esau wants to destroy him and here he comes, but I'm not going to let that happen. Not without me intervening first. And the Bible says that Jacob was left alone. And he prays and he says, Jacob prays. You'll find it from in verse 9 through verse 12 of that 32nd chapter. Jacob prayed and he said, oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord Jehovah, which said unto me, return unto your country and to your kindred, and I will deal with thee kindly. Amen. I'm not worthy of the least of all of your mercies. How many of you know that was true? He deserved everything Esau had planned for him. He said, I'm not worthy of least of your mercies and of a truth which you have showed unto your servant with the stuff. Amen. That you have blessed me with that's passed over this Jordan and become two bands. He says, but oh God, deliver me. I'm afraid. I've come to the end of my rope. I've come to the end of me. I've come to the end of my scheming. I've come to the end of my trickery. I've come to the end, and now I gotta pay the piper. And it don't look pretty. Deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. Lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And God, you said, I will surely do good to thee and make thy seed as the sands of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. Jacob is reminding God of his covenant promise. God, you said that you were going to make my seed as the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. Help me. If you ever help me, I need your help now. Because I know Esau is on the way, and I'm afraid of him. And the Bible said, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now let that sink into your spirit, and just maybe close your eyes and get a picture of that. Here is the deceiver, the supplanter, the trickster, left alone on the far side of the Jabbok River. All has gone before him, and now he is alone, and suddenly there is a wrestling match that begins to transpire. This wrestling match was not just symbolic. However, I am certain that Jacob was wrestling emotionally and mentally with his past and wrestling with the uncertainty of the future. Amen. And wrestling with the fears that were in his heart. But this wrestling match was not just a symbolic wrestling match. It was a very real, very literal, kick up the dust, wrap your fingers around another man's throat wrestling match. How do you know that, Pastor Gary? Because if it were just a mental, emotional, spiritual wrestling match, Jacob's thigh would have never been out of joint. It was a physical, literal wrestling match. So much so that Jacob's thigh or his hip was knocked out of joint. God branded Jacob by knocking his hip out of joint, and forever Jacob would halt upon that hip or limp upon that leg. It was a wrestling match between the man, Jacob, the deceiver, the supplanter, and God himself in the form of the pre-incarnate Christ. Can you prove that with scripture, Pastor Gary? Amen. Let me just tell you, one of the things that causes me to believe that is that Jacob himself says that I have seen God face to face and I've lived to tell about it. Amen. Jacob also realized that it had to be a divine being in order, amen, to ask him for a blessing, because men cannot bless one another. Amen. Jacob knew that it had to be the divine favor of Almighty God that would deliver him from his brother. Hosea chapter 12 verse 3 tells us that he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, or with the angel, and he prevailed, and he wept, and he made supplication unto him. Amen. Jacob worshiped this being that he was wrestling with. How many of you know you don't worship angels? You don't worship another man. But the Bible said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou worship. Amen. He had a wrestling match with God. God was more concerned with changing the character of the man and bringing him to a place of submission in order to fulfill the divine calling that was upon his life. Jacob had schemed his whole life. He had cheated his way to the promise of God, but now God wanted to bring him to the place that he recognized his need for God and God alone. I want you to notice this morning who initiated the wrestling match. The Bible says, and there wrestled a man with him. Not Jacob initiated the wrestling match. It's not Jacob wrestled with the man, but it's, and there wrestled a man with him. In other words, God started the brawl for Jacob's own sake. God knew that he had to break him in order to bless him, because he had depended upon himself all these years, his scheming ways to further his life. And God knew he had to bring him to the point of submission and recognition of his need for God in order for him to go forward and be what God wanted him to be. And so God shows up on the bank of the Jabbok River and started a fight and started a wrestling match. If Jacob would not have surrendered or had this encounter with God, he would have continued to try to appease Esau with his gifts that he had sent ahead of him. And no doubt, Esau would have kept right on coming and fulfilled what was in Esau's heart. Amen. And so in reality, God had to step in, start a wrestling match, and change Jacob right now tonight. It's showdown time. It's time. You've been trying to do it all your life. You've been trying to get ahead by yourself all your life. You've been scheming and tricking everybody and fooling others and pushing your way ahead and stepping over the top of everybody else to try to get to the top. You've been playing the supplanter, but it's time tonight to recognize who you are and who you need in your life. You may be asking yourself this morning, how in the world can a mere mortal man wrestle with God and win? Hello? How many of you think you could give him a whooping? Now listen, it's not that God could not have crushed him and win the contest outright. But God struggled with him until he, Jacob, came to the place of surrender and came to the point where he couldn't fight no more and where all he could do was hold on and say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to turn you loose until you bless me. It's not that God couldn't have just thumbtacked him to the side of the bank and crushed him like an ant under his finger. But it's that God wanted to bring him to the place of recognition that he knew that he needed a change in his life. Oftentimes when my children were small, in fact, I say oftentimes, it was pretty much every night. You know, every night after dinner, when my wife was doing the dinner dishes, my boys would go, Daddy, push down and play. That meant get in the middle of the floor and let us jump all over you. That's what that meant. And so I would get down in the middle of the floor and I would wrestle with them. And I would tangle with them and I would roll them around. And I did that just last night with my grandchildren. I had both of them in the middle of the floor pulling them around and they were running into Papa and they were jumping on my head and we were having a time. But I wrestled with them, but I didn't use all of my strength. And so it is with God in this instance. He didn't use all of his strength. He did not force Jacob to make a change. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the same thing that's true with us today. God doesn't force us to change. But he will wrestle with us. He will strive with our spirit and wrestle within our heart. Amen. And challenge us to rise up and trust him. But he won't force us to be what he wants us to be. He won't force us to make a change in his life. What he was trying to do with Jacob was saying, look, you've been a trickster and a supplanter all your life. I cannot use you in the capacity that I want to use you until you come to the end of yourself and you recognize your need for me. And then I've got a plan for you to march forward in. Amen. God wrestles with him and he did not, and he does not force his will upon us. He wrestles with us and brings us to a place that we realize that we need him, and we become willing to submit to his will. When God branded Jacob by touching the hollow of his thigh, it became absolutely apparent that God was the stronger of the two. Can you say amen? It became apparent that God was the stronger of the two. When God put his hip out, it is God's way of showing Jacob that he's no longer strong enough to win, and yet God allows the match to continue. He even says, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not turn you loose until you bless me. And when I read that and God began to lay this scripture upon my heart, I thought, oh, now we're getting somewhere. Jacob says, I won't let you go until you bless me. I won't let you go until you change me. I'm tired of being who I am. I'm tired of fighting the fight. I'm tired of struggling with myself. I'm tired of trying to be the supplanter. I'm tired of being the deceiver. I'm tired of being the cheater. Amen. What I really need is favor from God. God says to Jacob, he says, what is your name? What is your name? And how many of you know, he just says in the scripture, he says, my name is Jacob. But what he was really saying was, I am a deceiver. I am a supplanter. I'm a crook. I'm a thief. I'm a trickster. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? God brought him to the point of confession. of who he really was. God said, I want you to admit who you are. I want you to see who you are. I want you to tell me who you are. What is your name? And he said, I'm Jacob. I'm Jacob. God help me. Amen. I'm going to tell you, some of us and some of you right here this morning are wrestling with some things in your life, and God is just wanting to bring you to the point where you're willing to submit to his will and confess, God, I'm not where I need to be. It's me, Lord, in the need of prayer. Hello? Amen. That was a time I had to come to him and say, God, amen, my name is Jacob. I'm the deceiver. I'm the cheat. I'm the one. I'm the one that's full of my sinful self. And I recognize my need for you. I recognize my need for you. I'm going to hurry and try to close. God says your name may have been Jacob, but from now on it's going to be Israel. God brought him to the point of confession. And to the point where he had to admit who he was. And God said, not from this day forward. From this day forward, your name is not going to be Jacob, but it's going to be Israel. For with God, you have power. You have power with God and with men. But Jacob got up from that wrestling match as the day began to break. And the day began to come to daylight, and he halted upon his thigh. The irony of the event this morning is Jacob won by being beaten. Jacob won by submitting. Jacob won with God by submitting to God. This morning, many of us need to come to that place where we are willing to submit to the Lord. God, in his grace, encountered Jacob and wrestled with him to the place of seeing his weakness and asking for the blessing that he probably, amen, knew that he did not deserve, and he knew that he did not fully understand what all God wanted to do in his life. Amen. But Jacob came to that place of submission, and he won with God by submitting to God. This morning, some of us are struggling with some things, some old sinful ways. Some old sinful habits. Some of us are struggling this morning with God. Some of us here this morning have no peace in our life because we are wrestling with God and resisting God's will and resisting his salvation plan. I'm here to tell you this morning, the only way to win with God is submit to God. The only way to win with God is submit to God. Bow your heads. I'll close. I have run long this morning. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I encourage you this morning, stop wrestling with God. Stop wrestling. Stop resisting. Stop trying to hold on to your old character. Submit to the will of God. You may walk away from the battle with some scars in your life, but you'll walk away with the favor of God. Because when Jacob crossed that river and he met Esau, his brother, had a changed heart. He was no longer angry and no longer ready to kill him, but he walked away from that battle with power in his life, with God and with men. All because he won because he was beaten. He won because he submitted. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, help us to understand that the only way that we have peace in our life and favor with you is by submitting to your will. Help us, Lord, to call out unto you for your favor and your blessing. Help us to submit unto your will and your favor. Help us to understand that we are not losing life, but that we are gaining life everlasting when we submit to the plan of God and the salvation of God. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll take the message of these words to the hearts of these, the people that are here. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Is there anyone here in this place this morning that would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I'm tired of wrestling with God. I'm tired of resisting. God sees those hands. God sees that hand, that hand, that hand. That hand. I'm tired of wrestling with God. I'm tired of trying to hang on to my old life and my old past. And I realize I can't walk across the river in victory until I submit. I can't win until I submit. The Bible said that if we submit ourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We have to be in our place in order to put the devil in his place. We have to submit to him. Anyone else you'd like to lift up your hand, say, Pastor Gary, that's me. That's me. God sees your hand and your hand and your hand and your hand and your hand. Amen. Stand to your feet. Hands all over the building this morning. Here's what I want you to do. I just want you to lift up your hands. And I just want you to have a little talk with Jesus. I want you just to tell him, Lord, I'm tired of wrestling with you. I'm tired of wrestling with you. I'm tired of trying to hold on to my old life. I'm tired of trying to be who I was. I want to be who you want me to be. Lord, I submit to you this morning. I submit to your will. I submit to your way. I submit to you this morning. And I ask you to have mercy upon me. Let me walk away from this service as Jacob walked away from that wrestling match, victorious. I may walk away limping. I may walk away with some bruises, and I may walk away with some scars. But right now, Lord, I want to walk away in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit myself to you this morning. I submit my will. I submit my way. I submit my house, my home, my heart, my family, everything that I am, Lord. You are Lord of all. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I ask it. In Jesus' name I ask it.